call me, right?
Yeah, 1-2-1-2. Yeah, welcome. This is Sweet Talking Sport on Friday, the 10th of January. And I want to welcome you to a show with a difference. We've actually got a captain in the studio. Wagwan, people.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Hey, Captain, come on. Lord have mercy. Wagwan, people.
Yeah, we're all Wednesday, aren't we?
Stopping eyes.
We're all Wednesday.
Yo, without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep this show to yourself. And do you know what? I've got a very important announcement to make. And this is an announcement from the AA. And it's to all Sheffield Wednesday fans travelling down to Coventry tomorrow. The warning says, all Sheffield Wednesday fans travelling in icy conditions should take a shovel, sleeping bag, extra clothing, including scarf, hat, gloves, 24-hour supply of food and water, de-icer, rock salt, torch, spare batteries, petrol can, first aid kit and jump leads. A supporter from the Owls said that he felt embarrassed catching the train down to East Midlands and the British Rail failed to comment on the matter. Hey, what I say, Captain, what a dat? What that?
I don't get that one. What's that?
Well, no problem because, like, after what, 7:20, you'll be able to hear the show all over again on Sweet Talking Sport. Just put in, you know, and just Google that and it'll be there. So, want to start the show. In fact, Captain, I'll come to you in a bit. G, Wagwan.
Boy, me die, you know, still a wall on. Wagwan, everybody.
Mr. CV, just a leg of 2 yarn.
Listen, tired, very tired, but me get bright now because the captain come on. Because you know how long me I wait for the captain to come? And in coming upon him big ship. All right. Sailing, you don't know.
All so, right. Captain, what brings you here this evening after receiving 100 invitations? And just know your reach.
This is the appropriate time, you know.
Captain, ready for no go on.
You said it's time, reach.
Reach.
Basketball coach from North Carolina.
Okay, so I want to start the show with would it kind of like, well, up on the, just let me adjust the screen for these people then. Some of you guys might have come across this already, but a four-year-old guy in, four-year-old kid, I should say, in the States is causing the most amount of corruption because, like, he's taking after his pops and coaching basketball. At 4 years old, can you believe that? Christopher Bees was in the pre-K. His school held a career day. He dressed as a coach with a whistle, a shirt and a hat and emulated his father, who is a basketball coach. This has now gone viral. He's got about 1,500 followers on his social media platform. A video of Christopher can be seen on YouTube and he's kind of like going up and down, chatting about the basketball stuff. What do you think to that? I mean, if you was a professional basketball player or doing any profession, would you want a kid in the changing rooms or even on the court saying, come on, going up and down?
Oh, I don't know about that myself, but that seems to be the way forward these days. A lot of people now seem to be bringing younger and younger ones into these things now, and people seem to warm into it. So who am I to disagree with it all?
It's a career lift, isn't it?
A big career lift, in a sense.
Because at the end of the day, right, that child is stood there with his pops, and he's just looking.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Look how him stand up there.
Yeah,
he's playing the part already, isn't
he? He's just looking. So to me, I don't mind that. The only thing is, if he's coming into what I call the locker room now, where you're going to be hearing adult conversation.
I think
then it becomes a bit difficult.
I think the father would have thought about it. So I don't think he'll just like. I don't think he'd have took it light hearted. So you're gonna have that foul. You're gonna have like bad language and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can imagine his mother would have said some other, you know, saying it as well.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of agree with that because I can. You wouldn't allow him to come into the locker room.
I can imagine mother saying that. Oh, I don't want him to hear no cuss words.
He hasn't
picked up.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
I think if he comes into the locker room and stuff, the guys are going to be expecting him anyway. They're coming, they're toned down for 10 minutes or so. And then he'll leave or whatever, and they can carry on doing what they're doing. You understand? I don't think he'll be in there from start to the end. You're not going to want a kid
in
there.
And I can imagine it to be monitored. You know, the, I don't know, if it's social services or whatever, they'll kind of monitor it, you know.
Make sure he's not growing up too fast, innit?
Are you saying that they will be keeping a close eye on how and what's happening around him?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah.
That would make sense. Because
I'm not paid professional, but when you're in a changing room, when I was in a changing room, and I never used to use foul language, but
I should hope not, Captain. You know, so that's not like you.
So there'd be other, I can imagine there'd be some people who probably like, some people might forget where they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Not realise that, you know, they've got like.
But they don't need to forget, really. If they're in the locker room, that is there for you to express. You might be saying, why is he not passing to, or why did, that's for you to do the discussion. So really, you can't really have a young child in there when you are doing what you're doing. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think, obviously, he's a bit of a celebrity, and I think, you know, they just take it with a pinch of salt, really. He's probably like we'd probably call over here like a looking mascot, to be honest with you. It's a bit like celebrity status. It probably kind of gets media attention for the team and all that kind of stuff. The amount of people kind of gone onto the socials and that. And just listen to this guy.
Young basketball coach from North Carolina has become a
little kind of, that's what you get with the live shows, a little technical hitch there. And I'll put that right in a bit. But like I said, you get like media stuff.
Young basketball coach from North Carolina has become a viral sensation.
Every day is game day, baby.
So he's saying every day is game day, baby. And that's kind of Christopher. Kind of like, I think he's got a future. And if he continues following his father's footsteps, who knows? So just kind of like listen out for that name, Chris or Christopher Bees. Could be the next generation of a new kind of like kind of coach.
Yeah, let's wait and see what goes up there with that one, yeah.
Switching from one ball to another one, we're going to the tennis scene. And I'm kind of really surprised about this one because Djokovic has asked Andy Murray to give him a helping hand. Now, who would have thought that? You know, Djokovic, former rival turned coach. Murray said that he was kind of like surprised to get a call. He wanted a couple of days to think it over with his family. Then got him back with Djokovic and basically said, why not? Murray played Djokovic 36 times from 2006 to 2022. Losing 25, including 4 Australian Open finals. And I mean, also there was some kind of like majors in there as well. I mean, the majors, you're talking about the French Open, Australian Open, US Open, and obviously Wimbledon as well. Murray and Djokovic had been battling out on the courts, like I said, since 2006 to 2022. A number of 36 times, Djokovic leads 25 to Murray wins 11. 11 out of them was in the finals. I mean, we all know that Murray retired. I think it was back in August last year through a number of injuries kind of like took its toll. But like I said, I just want to put that to the panel. How surprising is that? Who would have thought Djokovic would have been phoning up Andy Murray and saying, listen, give us a hand, mate.
I would never have thought that, really and truly. I mean, that's a big respect and a big honour still for him to go tomorrow and says, come and train me. So we must have some big respect for the guy to do that. And I mean, it is a way to keep Murray within the tournament as well. Well, not in the tournament itself, but within the circuit, tennis. You know what I mean?
Within the tennis.
Yeah, in the tennis. I mean, he's a good player, Murray, but Djokovic is on a different level. Isn't it? So for him to be coaching him now.
Well. Yeah, well, you got to remember, at some point, Murray has beaten him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, so my man is saying to himself, you know what? It's not like I'm bringing in somebody who's a novice who I've smashed all the time. Or he has beaten him. So at some point, he has had the tactics and the skill to beat him.
Yeah.
So
I was surprised, but obviously that Djokovic is, he knows he's got, Murray's got some qualities he can utilize. He can say, well, he might like some things when he was playing.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, like him would have said to him, like, yo, you do that backspin there. And yeah, all them stuff, like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, so, as I said, he's not bringing in a novice.
Mm.
He's bringing in somebody who's beaten him. Mm. You know what I mean? If he was bringing in somebody who's never beaten him before, then you can think, well, why would you ask somebody like that who he's beaten all the time? But he, I think, how many times has Murray beaten him? About 11 times?
Something like that.
I was surprised, but not surprised, because he could be a good coach, Murray.
I believe so.
He could be a good coach.
Yeah, Murray's beaten him 11 times, but like Djokovic kind of like... obviously overpowered him big time in that. It was sad really when, you know, just before Murray kind of like hung his racket up, because he was just getting kind of injuries after injuries, and it was just a matter of time. And, do you know, to be honest with you, I mean, we spoke about it here on the show, and I thought, do you know what? Is he just chasing a few extra quid? Do you know what I mean? For a rainy day.
Doesn't do any harm.
You know what I mean? It doesn't do any harm, but, you know, you're not going to be at your best, and, you know, you risk further injuries. If you're not 100%, it's going
to
show.
Well, that's exactly what happened to him. From he did his back in, it just deteriorated from there, didn't it? Things just got worse. But, yeah, this could be an exciting move for him.
100%, you know? Into the MMA, I want to talk about Dakota Jichova, who's a 26-year-old fighter, the first Brit to win the MMA, tackle weight in her division. Obviously, you know, folks can't see on the screen, but she's kind of like... a very kind of like affluent figure. She does modelling also as well. So she's got the looks. She's got the kind of like athleticism to go kind of like really far. And this one dominated the sport at her division. Her mum also was a title fighter also as well. And after claiming a championship and... The prize money of €1 million, which is about 785,000 squid in Saudi Arabia. And I think she got that last November. So obviously, the manager with Beltior is preferred. Jichova told MMA fighters they definitely still have a talented group of flyweights. So, I mean, the first Brit to actually claim such a title, I think it's kind of like remarkable. 14 out of the 14 fights she's had, there's been 13 stoppages. So, obviously, she's the new face of the PFL, which is a Professional Fighters League. What about that, then? What are your thoughts on Dakota Jichova?
Well, she's bad, isn't it? It's as simple as that. She's bad.
And with a nickname like, you know, you're dangerous, you know. Wow. Some kind of like fight with that. What are your thoughts, Mo?
When you first look at her, you wouldn't think of her as a like, mixed martial arts. She looks more of like, a, you know, somebody who should be on the catwalk. But she's got a talent. not got nothing wrong with it. But I can't imagine she'd get much work if she comes out all battered and bruised, like, and
feels so smash up in it.
Yeah, she's got some like assignments.
Yeah,
and then she's obviously.
That's what does it though, with these women, even with the guys. And if you're into whatever, because obviously she's got solid,
she's like a fighter, but she's got another side bits in it. The modelling, so obviously she makes a bit of corn from that.
Of course.
Well, if she does what she's good at what she does, why not go as far as you can in it? If she, you know.
Yeah, she's kind of like deadly. I mean, obviously, some of them traits have been passed down from her mother, she's quite handy in the ring. She's probably quite handy out of the ring also as well. You know, so can you imagine Dakota as your piece on your arm? You know what I mean? Because there'd be questions, you said, listen. Hey Dakota, I'm coming in later on about I'll be in about 11 o'clock, something like that. I'm just out with the lads. 1 minute past 11, and you might just get a chop in your neck. You know what I mean? So you know. So I'm just saying that.
No, but sometimes they might have got other half. Normally, they could be into the sport as well. Sometimes.
Well, I mean, you know, you should certainly. Put up a fight anyway with kind of like any man, because they're saying she's kind of like deadly, and like I said, with that nickname, like Dangerous, you know.
Oh, so them call her Dangerous.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
you know. So Dakota Dichiva is killing it out there, you know.
Good luck to her. Crack on, girl.
I'm not really up on mixed martial arts, so I've never really heard of her.
I've never heard of her, be truthful. But what I'm saying is, if she's good at what she does, take it there.
See a signature tune, Yasso.
Yeah,
I was
just going to say that.
Dangerous. Dakota! Where you there?
Don't be surprised now if you actually hear her using that music once it goes out there. That she said, "Oh, I've never heard that one. Who sing that?"
Well, do you know there's only one signature tune I'd have for this girl? You know,
that's it, innit? All right, don't.
The quarter, you know, deadly. And obviously,
the tune there.
Yeah, there's people who can't see, obviously, your listeners, but they've got the screen up, and she's just. This was a last fight when she won the title. So, you know, fights in kind of like Manchester, not too far. But, you know, a deadly, deadly, deadly kind of like woman we've got there. That's Dakota. So listen out for her, a name which is going to be large in 2025 this year. Yeah. So from one martial arts, we're going to like go into a sport now. And I said every so often I'm going to feature some kind of like sportsman or sportswoman from back in the days. This one, we're going to talk about the wonder kid who invented the skill called the seal dribble. And it's Kaelan Souza, obviously a Brazilian with that name. He invented a skill so dangerous that FIFA actually banned it. And obviously, you know, like people listening to this, if you just kind of like, you know, go into YouTube and put in the seal dribble, you'll see this kind of like guy come up on this one. But, you know, obviously the panel will be seeing Kaelan, who's actually 27 now. And actually, he had to retire in the end through getting kind of like kicked and his injuries and stuff like that, you know.
So then falling to Mafia retire.
100%.
Oh, God. So you're that good, that man, keep falling to take you
out. So what's the seal move?
It's like, basically, it's kind of like juggling the ball on his head.
Oh, awesome.
And he was getting headbutted, he was getting tripped up and stuff like that, yeah. So, you know, FIFA stepped in and they said, listen, we're going to have to ban this kind of like skill, you know. so it should come up fairly soon. Let me see if I can get another clip, you know.
But I'm sure I've seen players do that before.
I'm going to say
the ball happens to bounces up and for a split second they can just probably not just hold it there.
I've seen that.
And sometimes it's unintentional, but it just happens to stop on the headline.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, see it there.
But there was kind of like charging into him because, like, you know, FIFA kind of said, you know what, this is kind of like the injustice one.
So because they can't get the bar clean of them, take him out and get kicking
in
the head
and that's what happens to a lot of players. They just get fouled all over the place. When people can't get the ball, they think, do you know what?
Just put
a hitman on him, take him out of the game. They'll take a yellow card for the team. And that could basically be that person out of the game, you know? I mean, the seal dribblet was invented by Kaelin and his father as a young kid, you know, when he was just like going through some skills, doing some techniques and that. The attacker rose to greatness back in 2005 whilst representing Brazil at the under-17s level in the World Cup. FIFA banned the seal dribblet because it's considered dangerous and unsporting.
Dangerous. I would just say something like that, because imagine now you get the ball on your head and you're running with the ball just pan your head till you score a goal. I mean, that's not football.
Yeah, some
it?
People might think it as like take it as like showboating,
cheating, and all that.
And you get some of them man like, you know, yeah. I can imagine somebody like, I don't know, Roy Keane.
I mean,
look at that there.
Yeah.
He's kind of like kicked him, thinking like, oh, you're showboating.
Yeah.
But he's moving forward all the time, so. What do you do? Man's coming up into your area. He's near goalie line and he's doing that.
Some of them man that back in the day, if I'm watching football with them, and he'll know what I'm talking about. The captain will know what I mean, because he have some of them down a theme farmyard, right? Some of them, you know, down at the farmyard there, right? Some of them, you hear them about. Pull him in, Rosehead. Them style, innit? Because they can't get the ball off him straight away. It's like, oh, get them, take his legs off. No, it's them styles. Because the guy's good. You know what I'm saying?
Well, when's they've got a player like that at the moment? That Gassimer.
Who named himself?
Gassman.
I want Gassman.
No. He's from...
No.
He's come through the academy. He used to be a teammate of Mbappe, you know, PSG.
Who?
PSG.
Listen. Let me ask you again. Right. You sure? I know Gas Repair Man, you're talking.
No. Well, it's Gassama.
Oh.
Depending now, yeah. You know.
Okay, because me never hear about no cassava. I something where you eat cassava, innit?
If you watch Wednesday tomorrow, I feel that it'd be playing a strong team.
Oh,
then
Lord,
you'll see what I mean. Like, he's got them good things. What you look, you know, skip to my loo.
Watch
yeah.
it.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Skip to my loo. Yeah.
It's that lead there. There's something on that that's tripping.
Yeah.
On this box here, something.
It's probably the lead. It's probably not fully in. It might be so far in.
Push it in. That's why I was saying check the lead behind.
Is your feet any in it?
Are your foot draggy toed?
Me, I was nowhere near it.
It's on now, Ed. There it's on go. Air.
That's it.
There's something.
There's a short somewhere then. I'd like it.
It's on. It's still saying on air.
It's a reset switch. Okay. Go off the side. See where this lead's going.
No, it'll be on now.
The computer.
I think it's on now. It's up now and running, I think.
Yeah, 1-2, yeah. Yeah, sorry about that, but, you know, it's a little kind of like a technical fault, but it seems like we're back on air, and this is, like I said, what you get with live radio. You know, unforeseen circumstances. So, guys. Yo, so, Mo, like we were saying, where was we?
Him, did I talk about theme team?
Oh, the football, you mean
Gissimo.
FA Gissimo. Cup?
No, him, did I talk about some cassava or something?
Yeah, cassava.
I want gas, man.
Gas, man. Dirty player or whatever.
No, he's not a dirty player, but he's...
Juno.
He's one of the type of players, like you said, but like he was saying...
He'll take break you out.
His, no, break his leg because he's skillful.
Right.
But he was saying that, smoke. That's how Wednesday's fans used to be, you know... To the opposition.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I've been there.
Yeah, I've heard it. Break his legs.
Yeah, them kind of them style.
But I don't think they can get away with that no more.
Yeah, you sure?
Because it's all seated. You can see who's saying what.
I mean, he said like, was it Gassamy? He said that he's kind of like skillful in that, but he can't do them kind of trick what Kerlong was doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know. So I mean, like we said, that FIFA. They kind of like said, yeah, through dangerous play, because the player kept the ball close to the opponent's in the air, making it difficult for the opponent to challenge, which can lead to dangerous plays, such as like headbutting, kicking, tripping a player over. And, you know, they also said it was unsporting. The sealed dribble shows a lack of respect for the game. If a player attempts a sealed dribble in a dangerous way, a referee can award a free kick to the opposing team. The referee can also caution the player for unsporting behaviour. I mean, how many times do we see players get punished for unsporting behaviour? Very rare.
Very, very rare. I can't say I've ever seen that.
I can't remember a player ever getting kind of like done for that. So, you know. Sealed dribble. And, you know, you do see players head the ball a couple of times, but to actually run with it like that.
Like how we was doing.
Yeah, I mean, trips and fouls happen in all games, you know, whether it's like under eights to you know, professional level. And, you know, you think that's what you got the referee there for anyway, to blow his little whistle. If he thinks that there's a foul. So, I mean, I just think, you know, skill-wise, I mean, it was just like that Colombian goalkeeper as well. He sort of like changed the way that keepers could handle the ball because he was Can you remember that Colombian keeper with the long hair?
With the long hair.
Nikita?
Something like that, yeah. And he used to come out and take people on, dribble the ball all over the place.
And score as well.
And score, like G says, quite rightly so, and score goals as well.
Yeah, I think he used to take penalty, come up for corners. And
so FIFA kind of looked at that and they thought, you know what? We can kind of like just sweeten up this game a little bit. And, you know, the only way that keepers can actually handle the ball is through, you know, a defender heading it back or stuff like that. So they... Them kind of like plays changed
the game. Yeah, the format of the game. Yeah,
how FIFA was kind of like looking at certain things also as well. I mean, yeah, we've lost a little bit of time, but you know, couldn't be helped unforeseen circumstances. But I want to talk about have Hammers gone potty over Potter, Graham Potter is back in business as West Ham's manager. Now, he's kind of like, I looked at his stats earlier on, and his stats was, 46% when he made his name at Swansea, then went to Brighton, as we know, 34%. West Ham being a big club, their capacity holds about, 22.5, and they're looking to extend...
West Ham?
West Ham's capacity at the moment is 62,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said 22.
Oh, yeah.
62. And they're looking to extend that in, next year, between 2026 and 2027 season, to 68.
Why?
Can Potter kind of like make West Ham turn the corner?
Probably this more fans want to come and watch the game, but that's the only reason why you increase your capacity. If there's a demand there, you do it.
What's that money?
No, they get over 61 every home match, but with West Ham, if they're 3-0 down before half time, you see them all walk out.
I've seen it.
They'll all walk out.
It's evacuation time.
They'll all go out. And it looks like, there's nobody, you know, a low attendance.
It's funny.
Well, if they're not doing well, then they'll walk out. And I suppose you'll get that at any club, really, if you're losing 3 or 4-0 or something like that. You know what I mean? People don't want to watch that. They'll just chip.
I think they've got enough there. It's 60-odd thousand.
Yeah, but obviously. But you could say that with Man United. Why did they want to build a stadium that's 100,000? You'd say 75,000 is enough.
Yeah, you would.
But they don't want to build if there's not a demand there, is there?
Because we're going.
You're the same thing. So there's a demand there, isn't there?
60 something thousand now.
There's a demand there. You don't build something if you're not going to fill it.
Yeah, I agree.
West Ham, they must have done the figures. So,
yep.
I'd have thought, they could.
Fair point. But they would say that the atmosphere is one of the worst atmospheres there in the Premier League.
West Ham. I suppose it depends on the style of football as well, though. Really, what you're watching
because it's so far away from the pitch.
Yeah, but I think as well, they went into his style. The Spanish guy and Moyes. West Ham. They more like they like. It's like Allardyce. He used to say like. Sarcastically, what's the West Ham way?
Yeah, I
think, Ebert, if you're a West Ham supporter, they all know what the West Ham way is.
Which is playing football.
Yeah.
Like how we do.
Yeah.
That's how they...
Because I remember West Ham back in the day.
With Cartier and all them, man.
Harry Redknapp, did you hear him? Yeah.
As in when he was playing, Redknapp was playing, you're talking...
Yeah, even when Redknapp was playing, and
Bobby Moore.
And Frank Lampard's dad.
Yeah.
On Brooklyn, it was like a style of play, but you know, I can't really say pleasing to the eye. You look at it,
it's true. It did good. That's when Cotty come, and then you add all them other what I call skillful players, them right?
Because he managed them, didn't he?
Redknapp managed them, yeah.
Yeah, so. He had that style of play from what he used to use, what he used to play when he was playing for like West Ham in the 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if Potter's going to be any. I don't know. He had a decent start when he was playing for Brighton, so yeah, maybe he might bring what they call the West Ham style to them.
I think they're just looking for a manager what could bring some kind of like stability, really, and because Potter didn't cost them any cash at all or anything, out of work for what 20 months, so I think that he was probably an easy choice, really, a bit of stability. I'm not sure how long he's got a contract for, but it is a big club. And to be fair, I think they was about, what? It's about 11th in the league, I think, when he got sacked from Chelsea. So bigger plays, obviously, at Chelsea. I don't think Potter could really kind of like manage. He probably had no experience of managing them really big, massive kind of like players. And I think that what kind of like brought him down, to be honest with you. But I think West Ham, you know, I can't see him kind of like getting into Europe with him or anything like that. But I can see him just being an all right kind of club. Do you know what I mean?
I think he'll play better football than, say, the Spanish. I think the Spanish guy was a bit kind of defensive. Same with Moyes as well. If it weren't going for them, they'd kind of like one loop and then they sit back.
Yeah, I think that's why they've got Everton in there as well. I think that's why Everton are wanting him, didn't they?
Kind of like sniffing around him, weren't they? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly one to look out for, really. You know, I mean, like I say, you know, he's been out of football for 20 months. He has kind of like turned down a few jobs. I'm not kind of sure what them kind of jobs was, what he kind of like turned down. But, you know, what clubs are where. In fact, I know one was kind of like Ajax in Holland or the Netherlands. He actually turned them down, and you know, you've got Ajax, you've got Rotterdam in there, Nijmegen, FC 20. So you've got some kind of like decent clubs over there in Holland. So yeah, I mean, it's to remain to be seen, obviously, what Potter is going to do with West Ham. But I think he's probably kind of at his kind of level, really, West Ham, I would say. Wouldn't you think?
It's a good club for him to come back into.
I think, yeah, he could go in there, right, and get the, and turn it around and get them playing the football. As Mo said, a lot better than that Lokotege or whatever his name is, because he just didn't really, I don't know. He's just,
yeah, I think he's seen what managers they've had already. The Spanish guy, Moyes. I don't know if was it Allardyce before Moyes? And their style of football.
Yeah, but you know what? West Ham, they won something with Moyes.
Yeah.
They won the Europa Conference with Moyes. So you can't really say the football didn't really do much. Do you know what I mean? Because they went all the way through and won it. Because if you ask any West Ham fan now, they'll say, yeah, we won a cup, a European cup too. Mm. So,
quite right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, sticking with football. Look, take this one. Harry Maguire was caught speeding, did 85 miles an hour in a 50 zone. So that's 35 over the speed limit.
What's he driving?
And received, he's got one of them Range Rover, probably a Range Rover Sport. Or something like that, yeah. And banned for what? 56 days, I think, which is just over a month, about a month and 26 days. Received a total fine, just over a grand, £1,052. I just think that's a little bit kind of like... A little bit kind of like low, that really. He's got away with it, hasn't he?
Mm. He's got away with that, yeah.
A month and just under 2 month ban.
Rubbish.
You know, and he's been, what, 85 miles an hour in a 50 zone.
rubbish.
That's ridiculous. That
you've got other people there.
Did he get points for that as well?
Yeah, I would have thought.
It should warrant at least minimum of kind of like 3 points. I think they offered him one of them kind of like speed course, awareness yeah. courses, but solicitor said that he was away on holiday. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, you what?
Wow.
You, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like beggars belief. I can't believe that. I mean, you know, what's that? Section 89.
He hasn't got that solicitor, has he? What? They call him Loophole.
He's
in Manchester. He works in Manchester. I don't know if he's still working, but he got a few people off for speeding by using like.
I'm not sure what solicitor he had. Yeah. But obviously, what? Road Traffic Accident Act, that's like Section 89. He was given an NIP, which is a notice of intended, prosecution. 14 days he had to kind of respond to that. And that's the outcome of that. But I just want you to just put that on the shelf to one side. So we've just kind of like discussed Harry Maguire with the Road Traffic Act, kind of like caught speeding 85 in a 50 zone. So put that on the shelf and listen to this one. Norwich City player Borja Sands. Suspended for 6 months. He were fined 12,000 because he breached the FA rule E1. A match took place. They played Sunderland away. Lost 2-1, by the way. It was 21st of December. Allegedly, Bojan committed the offence of spitting at an opponent in the 74th minute. So, like you said, you know, you've got Maguire fined just over a grand, but yet you've got this guy for spitting 12,000. 12,000 the FA found him. I mean, unless he spat and they recorded his spat at 90 mile an hour and it kind of like knocked the guy down. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I just don't get that, me. You know what I mean? How on earth can you find a player 12 grand for spitting? I'm not saying, you know, obviously I'm condemning that spitting.
Yeah, because violent offence.
Gets fined 12 grand, gets banned for 6 matches. Still can drive, by the way. Yeah, he can still press his car. He can still spit on the pitch because they do, just to get rid of kind of excess saliva, but not actually intending to spit at anybody. And then on another hand, just compare and contrast, you've got Harry Maguire, 85 miles an hour and just under 2 month ban. Just over a grand.
Not right there, is it?
I mean, how on earth does that match up?
Normally, that's probably like 12 month ban, speeding like
because
that.
Because when you're doing something like 30 miles an hour over, you get instant ban and it's supposed to be for a certain time period, isn't it?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
So they haven't even honoured that, have they?
I think it's ridiculous. And do you know something? I mean, Just for the record on this one, I looked at the game where he was spitting at a Sunderland player, and the referee sent off a Norwich player in the 70th minute, right? Bearing in mind that it was an independent panel what found this guy, so it wasn't the referee what sent him off, because a player got sent off 4 minutes before that, before the incident. Bearing in mind you've got two linesmen, bearing in mind you've got a fourth official. So, have any of the officials seen that? I mean, the guy, he put his hand up in a tribunal meeting and said, that was me, I spat at him. So, he received the punishment. But I think the referee bottled it. I think that the referee thought, do you know what? If I send two players off within 4 minutes, they're going to be down to 9 men and 70 minutes of the game. I think that's a serious breach there. I think the referee bottled his kind of
Did the referee see it? Did the linesman see it?
Well, it was a tribunal what found him guilty. So obviously the referee never sent him off. It would probably maybe come from like players complaining after the game or something like that.
Because you can get sent off when the game's...
But you've got, but what I'm saying is like you've got a referee, You've got linesmen. You've got a fourth official. None of them have apparently seen it. And it's up to this kind of like committee to say, well, you know, you allegedly did that. You know, what, did you plead guilty or not guilty? He's pleaded guilty and got handed 12 grand fine.
So now, you what know? If he'd actually, when he spat and he actually spat on the person, the guy, what would have they found him then?
Well, he's admitted it. So he's saying, yeah, I did do that. I'll stick my hand up and I'll take the punishment. So they've said, okay.
But 12 grand?
12 grand. And then we'll give you 6 month, you know, we'll give you, six match banned. Yeah. But like I said, I think that the referee, I think he dodged that one, because it's very rare where you'd get a referee sending off two players from the same side within 4 minutes of play.
I've seen that done. I saw it.
Within 4 minutes of play.
At Hillsborough.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, that in this modern day time, for a team to be down to, say, nine players, 70 minutes gone, that referee will probably want a police escort home.
No, still, it's only a few seasons ago, when we were playing Preston, and two of their players come to blows. So, showed them both, both are red.
Yeah, but the difference is that the referee's seen that one. What I'm saying here is that the referee's probably dodged it and thought, you know what, I'm just going to
let him play on.
Take a wide berth. Do you know what I mean? I believe that the referee has bottled that. Because
it's probably been told that you should have
winning and losing at the time. Do one who did the spitting, was that team?
They lost the game. And minutes before that, it was Bellingham who put the ball in back in the net for Sunderland and made it 2-1. Do you know what I mean? So others think that the ref thought, do you know what? I'm just going to let this roll.
Yeah.
I think
they normally have officials in the crowd as well, don't they? Watching how the referee, like...
Absolutely.
They degrade them, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've probably kind of seen it and thought, well, he's not picked up on that. So they probably have told him, like, you should have seen that, and we're going to have to, like, you know...
Yeah.
You know, because it's people can see it, like, you know, what he's done.
Mm. So has anything happened to the ref? No? Anything?
Well, I mean, it's kind of, there's no other comment really on that. It was just something that I kind of like picked instigated. Okay.
And then he's probably being told not to say nothing.
Mm.
You know, because they've done what he should have done.
I mean, if that was obviously a Premiership game, you know, they probably would have had VAR, and VAR would have had to step in at that. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, he's probably gone under the radar. And they would
find a lot more.
Yeah, 100%.
In the Premiership.
But yeah, going back to what I'm saying, I mean, like I said, Maguire just got fined, over a grand, but then this guy gets kind of like 12 grand. You know what I mean? It's like, well, that. You know what I mean? Which is worse. Driving, you know, at kind of like, them kind of like speeds, 35 over.
Yeah, I think he's got a good solicitor.
Yeah.
And they've seen, who he's playing for.
Yeah.
But is that an excuse to say, well, you know, I'm on holiday, I can't come to that hearing? Well, you just postpone the hearing and say, right, okay, when are you back? When you're back off holiday?
I think it's because who it is. Do you know what I mean? If it was me and you.
Was it that?
Nobody sent me and you. If it was you, you'd get locked up.
No.
We are going with about me and you.
Look.
What is it? Yo.
Take time.
Aye.
Take time.
For me and you. I bring the lad name in too.
Now, next bell a ring, ting a ling a ling,
school bell a ring. Hey, yeah. But yeah, I hear what he's saying. Going into last 10, obviously, come to the business side of it. We've got the FA Cup. We had a game last night. Sheffield United went out 1-0 to Cardiff. And I don't think they'd be too really kind of fuss with that, and don't say that kind of like too lightly, because the fringe players, that's another game they would have been kind of like playing if they'd have got through, and a bit more cash also as well. But you know, nevertheless, Wilder was kind of like honest. He came out with some honest words and said, you know, basically, he'd have loved to play a stronger side, but he's got to look at the bigger picture, which is Norwich, the next home game, which 3 points is would be massive, and it will take them a step further. I mean, you know, considering that they gave all the other championships team two-point start, including all them, you know what I mean? And there's no mention of that. You know, you don't hear the other supporters are saying, or the other managers, well, you know, yeah, we're two points, you know, it clear. You know what I mean? It just seems to have got lost in kind of like the Christmas spirit. Let's just put it that way, you know? So we'll look at the first game, what we've got. In fact, we've got Villa. I've just picked out a few games, really. Aston Villa v West Ham. Obviously, we said that this is Potter's first game in charge. Whether he'll be sitting in the stands and, you know, or will he be directing operations from down at the line? I can't really see any joy for Potter at Aston Villa. You know, I just think this has got a home win written all over it, to be honest with you.
I think it'd be a surprise. New manager. So players would want to like show what they can do. So I think it would be like a West Ham win. Because Villa, last few games, they've gone off it slightly. They might have picked up a bit more, but
a bit hit or miss,
blowing a bit hot or cold.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah, I would. You know what?
I think West Ham could probably just sneak it.
You know what? I didn't never think some of you would have agreed so much with my captain. You know, but
because normally when a new man comes in. Yeah. They always seem to like, oh, you know.
They book up, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they book up. Look at Wolves. Wolves were struggling, right? They were struggling. And then all of a sudden, right, the new man comes in, and I think they won, what, 3 or 4 on the bounce. So you're right, what you're saying. So, yeah, I could go along with captain, you know. And I think, yeah, West Ham could do a little surprise.
I think it'd be pretty close. I think it'd like a one goal in it.
Yeah, you're right. Where's it at, that?
Villa. Is it to Villa?
Villa.
Well, then, but, you know, you don't know. All right, come with the next one.
Liverpool v Accrington Stanley. Who are they? Exactly.
Oh, easy. I think they'll play like they're... Second team,
yeah. They won't
keep all them, you know. Yeah. They even might rest some of them,
that Kirkland or whatever his name will be in the goal for them and whatever.
I think you'll have some kind of like a few kind of big players on the bench though.
But
because it's kind of like, you know, don't. I mean, Accrington, it's not far, is it? From
I don't think they'll pull. I don't think
it for it really.
It won't play the big ones. You'll just say like. Just leave them out because if you get injured against,
they'll
well, it should be a certain win.
They won't want no giant killing though. You know what I mean? At Anfield, you know what I mean? And don't forget, them kind of fans will be coming to see some big kind of players as well. You know what I mean? And I don't think they're going to be all kind of youths there. You know, just in case because
I think he'll play some well known players. He could play Jones. He could play the other guy, I forget you call him now. I don't think he got from Fulham. I don't know
what you mean.
And they might play...
I think Jota will get a game.
Yeah, Jota, because he's only just come back from injury.
Yeah, so it'd be good to give Jota a run out. Elliot.
Elliot.
Bradley, yeah. Right back. He's kind of different him. Definitely. So what we're saying is like, no problem. Liverpool should see this one through quite easily.
I think
really.
It'd be quite a big score, from being honest.
You'd expect that anyway. Really, you know what I mean? Against that kind of opposition, but yeah, it's a run out for Accrington Stanley. They're 19th in their respective division, League Two. Obviously, Liverpool top of the league. So, yeah, run out for Accrington Stanley. No problems there for Liverpool. Chelsea against Morecambe. I think this has got the potential to be a little bit of a banana skin, really.
Is that Morecambe?
Nah, sit Chelsea. I think they're going to be a little bit nervous. I think they're best for me, Morecambe. If they can go in at half time, maybe 1-0 down or something, and they'll fancy the chances. It's going to be 11. It's going to be 10 behind the ball. You know, they're obviously not going to open up against Chelsea.
No, they're not.
They're going to keep it difficult. And we know how much it is. You know, when you know a team's got like say 10 players, how difficult they can make it for the opposition. It's going to be one of them kind of games. I'm telling you, watch out for that one.
Yeah, it might be a part of the bus, but again, it's Chelsea. Yeah,
I feel that.
I don't know what score it'd be. It could be anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, you know? Chelsea win.
Leeds United against Harrogate. This is a bit of a local derby.
This is a local derby.
For the Harrogate folk. Then. Yeah, it's a local derby. You know what I mean? Leeds first in their division. Harrogate 21st.
Is that at Ellen Road?
It is at Ellen Road
again. It's like a Leeds win. Yeah.
Leeds win that, innit?
Yeah. I think I think it's just the expectation. But I think Harrogate aren't going to go there to make up the numbers. They've got nothing to lose.
No, I'm not saying that they will. But like the captain said, it's at Ellen Road. If it was at their ground, Harrogate's ground, then I'd say, yeah.
It is, but do you know what? It's like I said, I think Harrogate, like I said, they've got nothing to lose. Mm. They expected to lose this one.
Mm.
So why not go out there and just like go for it?
Yeah, man,
you know what I mean? I think that's going to be the surprise element.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? I think I tell you what, I won't be surprised because Leeds will play a lot of youngsters. Don't forget, they're top of the league, and them like Sheffield United will be have their eye on the bigger prize. I won't be surprised if that goes to a replay at Harrogate and then Leeds finish the job.
There's no replays, I'm afraid.
FA Cup. Penalties.
Yeah, it's another 30 minutes and then
penalties. Right. Yeah, okay.
No replays.
No replays. Like CV saying here, you know what I mean? So, wow, that's going to be concluded on the day, you know, as they say. Man City against Salford, another local derby. Yeah.
Mm.
City 6 in the league, Salford again, a third.
Home, a win.
I would expect it.
Yeah, you would expect this one. I mean, City not doing too great in the league. I mean, we're saying six positions not doing too great compared to what they've done in the last few, well, more than a few kind of like years.
11
but you
seasons,
expect
like,
City yeah. to kind of like win and finish off the job.
Yep.
But Salford, you know, I think City could be a little bit nervous. You know, I think, you know, because, again, I keep saying it's like the expectation to win and finish off the job.
It depends who's going to play. I can imagine that he's going to rest some of the big hitters.
Who City? Listen, Man City ain't got nothing to play for now. They're not going to win the Champions League. They're not good enough. They're not going to win the Premier League. They're way behind. So they need silverware. So he can play. He can play the strongest team possible. Right, because they're, like I've just said, they're not going to win it. They're not going to win anything. So yeah, I'm expecting City to beat them. I'm going tomorrow, so I expect them to beat them.
And the last game we've got here is Coventry City against who?
Well, that one that can go either way.
You're damn right.
I know he's going to play a strong team.
Yeah,
he'll put out a strong team. He'll be expecting to win.
I think. You know, I think Lampard, you know, his first FA Cup game with Coventry City, I think he'll want to win this one.